Welcome to Dwell A While, a series of podcasts produced by Dwell Time in partnership with the Yorkshire Visual Arts Network. For this series, we invite peer-nominated artists to talk to us about their art practice, the contentiously uncritical term resilience, mental well-being, and the impact of COVID-19 on their practice. This series begins with conversations with artists featured in the Y Van and Corridor 8 2019 publication Resilience is Futile, for which Dwell Time co-founder Alice Bradshaw was writer in residency. We invite the original Resilience is Futile artist back to talk to us about how they have been since the publication and ask each artist to further recommend an artist or artists to talk to. In this way, we look to map out a network of visual artists working across the region with a diversity and parallels of practice, collaboration and so-called resilience.
I'm here with Sam Reed to catch up since we last spoke with the Resilience is Futile publication. Hi Sam, how have you been?
I've been really well, thank you. It's been quite a strange time. I'm kind of getting used to it, finding ways of working kind of with this new setup at the minute. And, you know, I've still got things going on which are keeping me busy.
Would you like to introduce a little bit about your practice and describe what kind of things you've been doing since we last spoke?
Yeah, sure. So I've got a multidisciplinary practice. Used to be quite heavily focused on print. So in particular, screen printing, lino cutting and things where I could introduce an element of digital discipline as well. So used to use things like 3D printing and laser cutting and stuff to kind of create printing blocks and do kind of hybrid methods like that to create 2D images. And then occasionally those would be exhibited in installations. These days I've sort of gone back to a lot more drawing, a little bit of moving image work as well. Currently studying for an MFA in Fine Arts at the University of Leeds. I'm quite heavily involved with a collective project at the minute in Sheffield called Gloam, which started in 2017 as an art studio and gallery. And we recently moved to new premises earlier this year, kind of just before the lockdown happened. We timed it really badly. And now that is kind of run between me and five other people as a cooperative. So a lot of my time is going into planning for that and coming up with new ideas to kind of kickstart a new project space in the city of Sheffield.
So lockdown must have had a really big impact on those plans. How is it now with regards to Gloam?
Yeah, it definitely did. We managed to find we needed a bigger venue basically because we wanted to expand, and also our previous premises didn't have a very good relationship with the landlord. It was very cold, it was very leaky, and now we're still in the same area, but we're on Arundel Street, literally around the corner from Block Projects, which is really nice. So we are currently in the process of just building up those studios again. Hopefully we'll have a gallery space kind of completed in the next kind of 5 to 6 months, and we'll be launching a crowdfunder and things quite soon, in addition to kind of applying for pots of public money just to kind of get that going, and obviously so we can pay artists and workshop leaders to help us put on events in the city beginning, fingers crossed, late this year, early next year.
Great. So how has the pandemic and the lockdown impacted your own practice and also your mental well-being?
It's not been as bad as I thought, though it's been difficult. Sort of I was having lots of kind of, I guess you could say, kind of like mental perturbations before all of this happened. And actually, for me, the lockdown was like a bit of shock therapy. It kind of helped me realign a few things in my social life and made some pretty big changes, which kind of needed to happen anyway. So moving back in, I had to move back in with family for about 6 months just for kind of financial reasons when the lockdown hit, but managed to save up a little bit of money and also find some friends that agreed to move in with us. So we've now moved back to Sheffield, having been based in Chesterfield for the last 6 months, and just in the last kind of 2 weeks since we moved, getting used to kind of living in a household with other artists, kind of sharing that space, sharing resources, and kind of just, you know, like living together and having, you know, like a, you know, like a social existence again, having been, you know, like isolated and like geographically kind of displaced from all my friends and other artists for some time.
Do you feel like the overall changes have been positive for you in lockdown?
Well, it was all kind of born out of necessity, really. You know, I was living with one other person beforehand and we were sort of just about making ends meet, weren't really able to make many kind of savings and didn't really have enough time to give to the kind of collective project I was talking about, and didn't really have time for my course either. But, you know, now that we are able to split the rents and live actually quite a lot closer to the centre as well, it's a lot more convenient, and, you know, it's a good way of just fighting that sense of loneliness as well when you are kind of, yeah, displaced or whatever. So yeah, it's been, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I'm, you know, pretty anxious about and pretty worried about the kind of state of, you know, the arts ecology at large, but kind of on a interpersonal level, I'm sort of definitely in a better place now than I was in January.
That's really good to hear. How do you feel about the current national and regional arts ecology at the moment?
Really pessimistic, to be honest. Yeah, pretty pessimistic. I've not been kind of closely following, you know, who's been getting grants and what the kind of big changes have been. I've seen a few kind of local spaces close in Sheffield, which has been a real wrench. But, you know, we're not going anywhere. We're going to try and make things happen, you know, with or without a budget. We'll find a way. It kind of, for me, it really just underlines the need to work with other spaces in the city and to build bridges with spaces of a similar size and a similar structure in other towns and hopefully at some point in other countries as well. I think it's really, really important that we have parallel structures and institutions alongside, you know, the museums, the galleries, the universities and things, and to make sure that we can share resources and just kind of make the most of this even when, you know, there is so much scarcity.
Yeah, that's a really positive and utopian vision that I think a lot of artists want to keep in mind as well. What would be the ultimate utopian for the arts coming out of this, do you think?
A bit of a pipe dream for me would be, you know, just having artists, musicians, people like that recognized as a type of key worker and being able to receive, you know, kind of support and stipends, just you know, have their kind of basic needs met so that they can do what's really important, which is develop their practice and share it with as many people as possible. I mean, I don't see that ever happening, but I mean, the way in which the kind of the furlough scheme has hopefully changed a few people's outlook on, you know, the role of state and public funding and you know, subsidizing labor in that way. I mean, you know, maybe a few more people will be open to those ideas, because as I say, the kind of the rule book is just the rule book's basically been thrown out the window.
Yeah, and I think there's some positives in that to be taken forward for certain. Is there any questions that you want to put out to the wider community, not necessarily on this idea of universal basic income, and maybe talking about networks or anything that's relevant to you at the moment? Is there any pertinent questions that you have?
I'd really want to know what it is that artists in like a similar position to me need right now in terms of learning, resources. It's obviously good just having spaces where people can congregate, share ideas, have their work kind of critiqued, and, you know, have access to things like workshops. That's all really important. I think we all understand that, but I'd really want to know what it is that other artists want in terms of learning, whether they want experience in particular disciplines or whether they would be able to commit to kind of more long-term projects of adult learning, and, you know, what their kind of time demands are as well, because it's kind of, I think it's really good that there are spaces like Food Hall, for instance, in Sheffield, who we're going to be working with quite closely in the future, that can provide kind of workshops on an ad hoc basis for people. But some people might have greater ambitions than that, and also some of them might have restraints around things like childcare or work or whatever, which means they can only do so much with their spare time. But, I don't want anyone to be left out. I want there to be like really quality, public engagement and arts learning for everyone, no matter like what level of education they're at or no matter how far along, their career they are. I want it to be kind of mutual, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Just picking up on this idea of disparity between different people's experiences, do you think that the inequality gap is going to be more of a problem than it was before lockdown? Or do you think it's just more of the same? What's your opinion on the inequalities at the moment?
I think I heard something recently about how, and I don't remember exactly what the kind of threshold was, but people who've obviously been able to keep their jobs have actually done all right in terms of they've come away with savings and things on the back of this due to not really being able to travel very much or just kind of being a bit more thrifty or just not being able to shop as much. But then people under a particular threshold have done really badly out of it, either because they've fallen into rent arrears or it's just exacerbated other problems that they already had in regards to employment or access to things like welfare. So I know it's definitely heightened inequalities in certain ways. I guess there was kind of potential that, with everyone kind of being at home and having to access kind of culture remotely and digitally, there was always the kind of potential that more people might have an inroad to contemporary art or kind of slightly more interesting types of cinema with things like, MUBI and the BFI. And I know a lot of galleries have digitized their exhibitions and put them online so that you can kind of walk around them in the virtual world. So I think those things are good, and I don't think those should necessarily go away. But then that's always predicated on people obviously having access to the internet in the first place. So maybe there's some good that can come out of that.
Yes, hopefully so. And returning to the idea of resilience that we first talked about, what do you think has made for so-called resilience during lockdown, either on a personal level or on a general level?
In terms of resilience, just to bang the drum again a bit about like cooperation, another space that we're kind of working with quite closely at the minute, General Practice in Lincoln, they've really honed in on the Artist Support Pledge, that program where yes. they've actually, between I think there's six or seven members, they've all purchased artwork via kind of Instagram and places like that, and then they've built an exhibition of work purely bought through that pledge in their space. And there's a sense of kind of resilience in that way of working, because they've kind of recognized this thing which a lot of artists have had to use, which is the support pledge, and then they've actually built it into their program to show, just to show that it can be done, and used it as a way to connect younger or kind of emerging artists, viewer followers, with artists like Yelena Popova, who are like internationally famous, and put them in the same physical gallery space, which you just don't see terribly often. So that's quite a kind of, I don't know if that answers your question exactly, but I think that's quite a canny way of gaming the system a little bit. And it's people like that that we want to work. And we, I said last time, I think this resilience word is a bit of kind of marketing jargon most of the time. But I think if there's a way to join up these kind of similarly minded organizations, then that's a kind of organic resilience, not a kind of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps kind of nonsense version of it, but like a properly kind of solidaristic version of it, where like everyone who buys into it is kind of getting something out.
Yeah, thank you. That I thought that was a really good answer, which leads me on to my final question of, would you like to nominate any artist or maybe an organization that you consider resilient, maybe the one you just mentioned?
Yeah, I was going to. They're not based in Yorkshire, obviously, being in Lincoln, but I would definitely nominate them and probably Nick Thurston from there as an artist too. Yeah, I think they've done really good work, and they've been going for 10 years. They've been doing this on, they've been doing this kind of off their own back and just working together, which is really inspiring and, should be a lesson for any other artists out there who just want to kind of make it happen, no matter what the kind of cultural landscape looks like at the time.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks very much for speaking to me.
Thank you for listening to this Dwell A While podcast. Dwell A While is a Dwell Time and Wyvan collaboration produced and recorded by Alice Bradshaw, Vanessa Haley and Lenny Srama. Edited by Vanessa Haley with graphic design by Ash Armitage. Dwell Time is an award-winning, not-for-profit arts publication reflecting on mental well-being, produced and curated by Alice Bradshaw, Vanessa Haley and Lenny Srama, founded in 2018. Wyvan is the Yorkshire Visual Arts Network, a voluntary-led organisation managed by part-time freelancers partnered with The Art House. Wyvan prioritise individual practitioners and small-scale initiatives, including those that are artist-led. Wyvan are funded by Arts Council England through a partnership with The Art House and are part of the National Contemporary Visual Arts Network. These conversations are starting points for which we encourage anyone to get in touch with comments and questions. The views expressed by the artists are their own. This content is covered by a Creative Commons licence. Anyone is free to share, copy and redistribute the material in any medium or format for any purpose. You must credit the artists, Dwell Time and Wyvan. Any remixes may not be distributed. Thank you to all the contributing artists for their time and generosity making these podcasts. If you have any comments and questions about any of the Dwell A While content, please do send them via our website, dwelltimepress.wordpress.com.